The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Can't beat a bit of Hathaway. You are listening to the Hard Shoulder Summer Special, coming to you live from the roof of Newstalk Towers. I lobbied hard for Newstalk to let us all go home today, but they said no, we had to do a show. But they compromised and they let us do it in shorts and do it from the roof. That was the compromise. We've also ripped up the running order to a degree, and we are enjoying the sunshine while we have it. We are going to be talking about summer movies and summer memories, and Jess Kelly will be along to talk summer tech. We're also going to be talking about summer music a little bit later, and there have been some great suggestions for people's favourite songs, like Hathaway, Len, Steal My Sunshine, says somebody else, Will Smith, Summertime, according to Karen on Instagram. I might draw the line at that, Karen, I'm not sure. Groove Jet, Sophie Ellis-Bexter, a few votes for July by Monday. I promise we will get more music in between now and 7 o'clock, in keeping with the relaxed theme of the Hard Shoulder today. Earlier in the show, in the last hour, we spoke about the weather with Evelyn Cusick. We had some great barbecue tips from Edward Hayden. Bobby Kerr was talking about pizza making and pizza ovens, and Oisin Davis had some cocktails for us to taste. And now, of course, we are faced with the prospect of being able to taste cocktails indoors from next Monday, because the plans to reopen indoor dining and drinking have been signed off, and we're going to talk about that now. Neil Richmond, the Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown, joins me, as does David Chalk, the owner of The Bank on College Green, and Gina Murphy, owner of Hugo's Restaurant on Merrion Row. Folks, you're all very welcome to the show. It's great to see you here. Out enjoying the sunshine as well. David, are you happy that these plans have been signed off and at least you'll be able to open?
We're delighted that we're going to be allowed to get back open. It's been exhausting. It's been a long time. We've been brought to the end very close, and then been taken from underneath us. So until I actually see the doors off the pub open and customers walking in the door, I'm still reluctant to get overly excited about it.
What do you make of the plan that allows you to open?
To be honest with you, I would probably stand on one leg or stand on my head just to be able to serve drink like that. So we'll do what we have to do. It's exhausting listening to the leaks, to the this, to the that, the different communications about what might or might not happen. And then we hear it, and it's like, I know that they've dropped the 105 minutes, 145 minutes thing that was going to be coming in, and which is great. There's other things that we would have loved to get, we haven't gotten. There's things that are going to be very difficult to implement, but do you know what? We just have to get our staff back. We've been crying about it for long enough, and we just want to get back to work.
Yeah, listen, great for staff. Many of them listening to this, I'm sure, who'd be delighted to get back to work. What were the things that you would have liked to have seen in, and what would be difficult to implement?
I see not being able to sit at the counter is going to be a problem, especially for smaller places. I would, you know, we've got a couple of bars down in Limerick as well, and they're a lot smaller, and I see the counter is a huge thing down there, a huge thing for, you know, for our business as well, for bars and for local pubs. A lot of those places have less staff, and it's going to be difficult to implement from the front door. I know they were trying to bring this in, that it could be done from the counter, but going out and checking everybody at the front door of a place when you have less staff, and as people will tell you in the industry, it's really hard to get staff at the moment, to get staff back to work. That's a difficult one. The vaccine passport is going to be hard to implement as well, but we're just going to have to do what we have to do to get open. Again, it's going to take a lot more manpower. It's going to take a lot more thought from our staff and from our front of house to get on top of it. But we'll do our best to do it.
Neil, like we said, look, a huge amount of staff and restaurant owners and publicans delighted to be open from Monday. There are going to be teething problems, though, won't there?
Yeah, let's not assume that this is going to be perfect. It's far from perfect. A lot of the issues David has understandably raised are real issues, they're live issues, but this is an opportunity. It's better than nothing. It was hard fought to get it over the line politically. A lot of work has gone into it. There's going to be a lot of work still to go before they're actually in. I actually agree, until I cross the threshold into a licensed establishment or a restaurant, I won't quite believe it myself. But I think this is an opportunity to get back open. And yes, it's really important for the staff, but it's also really important for so many people who see their local pub or their restaurant, their cafe, as central to their social life, to their well-being. And I really hope we can take this possibility on its merits.
What work still has to happen? I understand the Attorney General has expressed some frustration with the pace at which new regulations are being brought in. What's happening there?
Well, that's understandable. well, this has been done at pace. You know, this isn't a slow, methodical process that's been done over a six-month period. The President has thankfully signed off the legislation. It's been enacted, and now it's about implementation. So about the regulations, clarifying certain issues around how to store data, how to access the digital cert, all that. All things that can be worked out will be worked out. A lot has come out of the working group and the engagement over the last couple of weeks, and industry has invested a lot of time and energy into that. And I certainly think that by next week, when we're ready to open, I think we'll be good to go. And if we're patient with it, it could be something that's hugely important, not just to the sector, but society as a whole.
Gina Murphy of Hugo's on Merrion Row, you've got this great outdoor area there at the moment. We were down in it, lucky enough to be down in it last week. It felt like a weekend. I wished it was the weekend. You will be able to open the indoor area. Have you worked through how that's going to be managed? I mean, who's going to check at the door for COVID passes, for example?
Well, as all of that been that talked won't through. That won't be a big issue for us, because our front desk is at the front door, so we'll just have whichever app they give us, we'll have that scanned down. But I actually won't be opening indoors for a week or two yet. I don't have the staff to cover it. I've only got enough staff to cover the terrace at the moment. And the staffing levels on the terrace are higher than we would need to staff indoors. And with the weather the way it is, I really can't split up the staff team. So, but it won't be an issue for us to check those kind of things. I mean, just as by the by, I was speaking to one of my brothers. I have two brothers who live in Melbourne, and I spoke to one of them this morning. And they scan an app going into retail, going, you know, he got a call to say that he was a second tier contact from somebody that he had been in an open market with, because he stopped at the same stall as somebody, and he said over there you just automatically do it, you tap your app, that's it, and you go.
Neil, there had been some reluctance in government to go down this route of the vaccine pass, and it was because I suppose there was maybe a fear that it would roll into other areas. You know, you start with the restaurants and the pubs, and then there's calls, well, maybe we should do this in the universities and in shopping centres and in stadiums. We see in the UK they're talking about by the end of September vaccine passes to get into nightclubs, for example. It's inevitable we go down that road, isn't it?
Certainly a potential. Like, ethically, we're all not exactly sold on this, but we realise this provides the opportunity. Otherwise, you're looking at October, November. We look at what other European countries have done. What I'm really excited about is when we bring in antigen testing and PCR testing, open it up even more widely. But we don't want to be in a position where we're slowly, and it is slow, steadily reopening society and the economy, and then have to revert back and go back into lockdowns or restrictions like we're seeing in Australia and across the continent. And if this, in my personal opinion, if this allows society to open up more widely and safely, I think it's something that, as a short-term measure, it should be embraced.
Well, but it wouldn't be short-term is the point, isn't it? That once you start doing it...
There's a sunset clause in this of 3 months. And if we look at the vaccine rollout, and when we get to this mythical herd immunity, we're actually not that far away. And a lot of people have talked about that Ireland is vaccinating the fastest in the OECD the past week. We're well over 60% fully vaccinated at this stage. And if we can maintain
of
that
adults.
Pace...
And of after adults. You get that, then suddenly the herd immunity is, well, we've got to do teenagers. And then once you do teenagers, well, for herd immunity, you've got to do children.
Well,
goalposts shift constantly.
Well, to be fair, like... it's a pandemic the likes of which we haven't seen in a century. There isn't a textbook for this. Everyone, particularly in the sector, particularly in society, is trying their best and is implementing as safe possible. But when you take Ireland and around, the impact on our public health, the impact on our economy, it hasn't been as bad as other countries. And if we do continue this really rapid vaccine rollout, then the sky is the limit and things like this won't become needed, hopefully getting towards Christmas.
David, do you suspect that in 3 months' time you won't be checking vaccine passes if you start checking them on Monday?
No. I suspect we'll be checking them for a while. If somebody had told me this 6 months ago, this is what the road we were going to go down, I wouldn't have really believed them. To be honest with you, there's just the communication changes so much. You know, we've been told so much over the last 15, 16 months of what was coming down the road. And again, I know it's difficult, and I know we've never seen this type like a thing before in our generation anyway, or our lifetime. But like... we were told, you know, if we winter this, we'll summer well. We were told before, you know, we need to another 2 weeks of this. We were told before, you know, if we get ICU levels below this. We were told before if we get old and vulnerable people vaccinated. Like, I don't understand how much stuff we need to be told. What are we supposed to believe? And so if you ask me what I think will be happening in 3 months' time, I literally have no idea. Maybe we'll all have emigrated and moved to Australia because it's so great or something. I don't know, because honestly...
Australia's in full lockdown, though.
Well, there you go. And we didn't follow Australia, thankfully. But, like, people seem to think that maybe Australia is a great place to be living at the moment, but like, I don't. It's everything is just so frustrating. It feels like we've been stuck into the hospitality industry has been put into a tumble dryer and taken out and then asked, like, how do we feel? It's like we're in the Truman Show or something, that we're, people are following us around, giving us this, a leak for this, a leak for that. And it's, you know, it, I just think that our industry hasn't been treated well, and it's really hard to watch. You know, we've seen staff leave our industry for that. Gina can't get reopened because she hasn't got the staff. We were supposed to open on the 5th, and we brought all our staff back in, 35 members of staff, and they're standing in the pub waiting to know what's going on 3 days before, and we're not being told. And that's just not good enough. And these, like, we can go on about we're in this together, you know, but we're not. Like, these are the people that, like, really, like, have been treated, like, despicably, really, when you look at it. Like, and where we'll be, I don't know, but, like, who knows? We'll do what we have to do to get open. We did what we had to do last summer to get open, and we implemented what we had to implement, and we did it well, and we were still closed again. So, I don't know.
Gina, have you been treated despicably?
I think we've been treated with a lot of disrespect. I mean, if I look at me, my business, out of the last 495 days, I've only traded 64 indoors, and I've just traded since we reopened there on the 9th outdoors. That's not good enough. I don't know how you're supposed to stay upright, and we've lost all our staff, as David said. We've got into so much debt over this that it's not debt that we have incurred through bad trading. We've, like, my maths on it was that if I had known last March what I know now, and I had actually just closed my doors and said to my landlord, I'll be back in 2 years, roll up the rent, throw it on to the rest of the lease. If I had done that and just incurred the rent costs for the last 18 months, I would be 2/3 less in debt than I am now because of the openings and closings. And I also would have had a much better chance of retaining my team. And that was one of the biggest things for me. My staff are everything, and to have lost them and lost my team is devastating.
Neil, disrespect is how they've been treated, how they feel they've been treated. Despicably, I think, is how David described it.
You know what? It's fair criticism. I'm not going to come and stand to two people who've closed their businesses and put their lives on hold for the last 18 months and say it's all been gone, it's all been deliberate, because that would be ignorant of me. It has been a particularly tough time for everyone in society, but those in hospitality have had it worse than probably most any other economic sector. That's an acknowledgement. We have an opportunity now to try and reopen safely, slowly, and stay open. And whatever supports are needed going forward, I think the government has and will can step up to the plate. So none of this is going to go on deaf ears.
If I could just say on that, I mean, the supports are crucial. I mean, just because you took off the stabilizers does not mean that we can cycle the bike. Like, we absolutely need help to keep going. I mean, my staff costs for the first couple of weeks, as I was saying to David earlier, like, we were running at 64%. That's absolutely not sustainable. I mean, you know, you'd need your head tested if you thought that you could stay in business with that level of labor costs. So, and it's going to take us a long time to get back up and running. And seeing as we took the hit and all the staff and all the good people involved in this industry, we need to be protected, and it's going to take a long time. September is not the time to take away supports. January isn't the time. It's got to be next year before we even contemplate going into discussions of taking away supports or you know, slightly pulling back on
no
them.
No one is talking about taking
yeah,
away
no,
supports.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that has to be clear.
A tough budget ahead
it
of us,
has to be clear, Neil.
It's
it has
all about balance
to be. It has to be clear that the hospitality industry has taken the biggest. It's become the biggest punching bag for the pandemic. And look, we're all good people. We'll do whatever is asked of us. But
yeah.
God, you've got to help us back.
David,
really,
are you assured by what Neil has to say? Do you feel assured that you're going to get the supports you need?
Like, I understand the position they're in, and I can understand, you know, I know I heard Neil saying there about the budget coming up, like, you know, we're hardly going to get the blame for the country the way it's in. But there's so much, like, whatever about reopening and places around the country that have been able to open outdoor and the hotels being able to open outdoor and indoor, but they've opened in the summer. And, you know, the summer is the best time for people going on holidays, it's the best time for people going traveling in the country or going out for dinner, whatever, all these types of things. There's a huge problem coming down the road, which is the winter, you know, and, you know, it rains in this country a lot. And granted, we've been blessed the fact that we've had 5 weeks of beautiful weather. Like, remember what May was like. So, you know, we've, a lot of places have park debt. A lot of places have bank debt that's coming as well, or revenue debt, or VAT, or whatever, or PAYE. So all this stuff, like even suppliers have been very loyal to us, you know, and very patient with us. So it's not even just the case of bringing back the staff and getting help on that. There's so much stuff, like even with our insurance, like even in the bank there, we paid our insurance last September. And we've been open for 3 weeks and we had to pay it in September. And come next September, we'll have to pay it again. Like there's no money back on personal liability. There's no money back on employee liability. There's no money back on when we were closed previously yet on business interruption. We were told we were going to get support on that. We didn't get it really, you know. So I understand it's a difficult situation, but like I'm looking at it from black and white figures, I'm looking at it, other people are looking at it, and there's certain people in a lot of trouble coming down the road, and this is a big problem.
Well, it is a big problem, and to be fair, Neil did acknowledge this, and it's not a perfect solution. As a short-term solution, I suppose, as you both said, at least it looks like you will be opening to some degree around the corner, and I know lots of people at home have the same misgivings you have, but they are still looking forward to getting inside for a pint or a meal as well in the coming weeks. We thank you all for coming in and joining us here on the roof of News Talk Towers for the Heart Shoulder Summer Special. Neil Richmond, a Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown, David Chalk, the owner of the bank and College Green in Dublin, and Gina Murphy, the owner of Hugo's Restaurant on Merrion Row as well. I promised Jess Kelly would be along a little bit later to talk about tech that is coming up after the break. I'll also tell you how you can get your hand on 30K by the weekend.